It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are back from Microsoft Tech Ed 2012. They'll have their report and lots more, including an announcement of a very special, mysterious Microsoft event in Los Angeles on Monday. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 265, recorded June 14th, 2012. Paul's head on a stick. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Ford, featuring the My Ford mobile smartphone app for electric vehicles. The My Ford mobile app makes the electric driving experience fun and efficient. Learn more about Ford electric vehicle technologies at Ford.com/technology. It's time for Windows Weekly, the Tech Ed 2012 edition. Here, back from Tech Ed, Paul Thurrott of the super site for Windows, WinSuperSite.com. Also, Mary Jo Foley of AllAboutMicrosoft.com. Did you go to Tech Ed as well? Of course you did.
Yes, of course.
Of course you did. So, what did we learn?
Nothing.
Nothing? So, what is Tech Ed?
So, Tech Ed is an event Microsoft has every year in Florida, well, in the U.S. and in Europe, and it's for IT pros and devs. So, half the audience is IT pros, half is devs. And the big theme this year was supposed to be Windows 8 and all about, like, what businesses can expect for Windows 8. That was going to be the day two keynote, actually. And we didn't learn anything new, basically. Although Paul may have learned a thing or two new. But I sat through the keynote and I was kind of hoping I'd learn more new, but did not.
Yeah, I actually did not attend either keynote live. And I watched part of the second one, but it was so excruciatingly bad. I it was very strange.
Who do we blame?
I don't want to make fun of anybody. I thought it was odd, and I guess the way to say it would be they treated the audience like they had never seen Windows 8 before, and like they were slightly slow children.
Oh dear!
And it was a bizarre.
And these are developers who not only have seen it before.
Well, and IT pros. And
these are people who have probably been using it for months.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the thought was on that one, but it was just wrong. It was just the wrong.
Yeah. What's wrong? Yeah.
It was a keynote. You know, I've heard some people say, okay, some IT pros may not have seen Windows 8 before because IT pros is a category that encompasses a lot of different people. You know, you could even have people who are like your small business contact desk, help desk administrator, even a secretary can be an IT pro, right? And but I just can't believe they haven't seen it at all. Like in a video, maybe you haven't downloaded the preview, but you've seen it. And they made it really remedial, which I thought was an interesting and odd.
And again, not to pinpoint any particular individuals, but more than one person also incorrectly referred to on-screen items. So they called the tiles icons, you know, things like that numerous times. I found the whole thing to be very, I don't want to say unprofessional, but it was just poorly conceived.
Sounds like it was really remedial for them. It's like they didn't know what they were doing.
It was very strange. It was very strange. Like Mary Jo said, I mean, they've been doing Tech Ed forever. They do multiple Tech Eds every year, and they're good at it. You know, I mean, the Orlando, whatever it's called, the Orange County Convention Center is roughly twice the size of the town I live in. And then it expands out into these hotels that are also bigger than hotels that you see in Vegas. They're just humongous places. Obviously, it's a big deal, you know. But the keynote stuff, well, I haven't watched the day one yet. I will catch up on that. But the part of it that I caught on day two, which was the Windows 8 keynote, it was hard to watch. It was pretty painful.
Yeah. Day one was all about Windows Azure and Windows Server. But again, they kind of pre-announced that the week before. We talked about that on the show. They were talking about, you know, here's what's coming in the spring updates for Windows Azure. And that was largely what keynote day one was. So, you know, TechEd doesn't have to be a news event. In fact, I often think of it as kind of a learning event more than I think of it as a news event. But sometimes you say, all right, throw the people a bone. They're going to sit through an hour and a half keynote. Give them a little something. Right?
Well, they throw the sliverest of bones. You know, I think on day one they had the Windows Intune announcement.
Right, that's true. Yep.
And then day two, I don't know, maybe some MDOP stuff, but you know, very small. It was weird in that all of the big stuff was announced in blog posts in the week leading up to it. But yeah, like you said, I mean, I think, yeah, TechEd is a learning event. Absolutely, it's a learning event, and maybe that we need to approach it like that. You know,
but assume that a certain amount of competence at the level of the. Do you think this is this? Okay, I'm
there's gonna, a lot of this. You know,
is
there's
it
a lot
Steven
of
Sinofsky? No.
In fact, he had nothing to do with this. I don't know. Okay. You know, Microsoft has event organizers, and I don't know. I mean, you know, I showed up on day one. I arrived after during the keynote. You know, so you know, they handed me a paper with had my schedule. This was an updated version of my schedule, so it was a little bit different than the one they had sent electronically. And you know, they sent me to the wrong half of the planet for one of my meetings, and. And in a place like Orlando, where these things literally are miles apart, that was actually really bad. I was on the wrong side of the convention center, and I went to exactly where they told me to go. And there was a meeting room there, and I sat in there by myself for 45 minutes and wrote. And then I walked over to where the next thing was, and they were like, "Oh, where were you? We had this, you know, meeting." I said, "Well, I was where you sent me." You know, and I have it on the paper. You can, I mean, whatever. But
so maybe the third party that they hired to do this was inept.
I don't know. Yeah.
I think it came at an odd time for them because it's between announcements for them. I mean, they just announced the release preview of Windows 8, so they didn't want to announce anything else about Windows 8 because the next thing is supposed to be the release to manufacturing, and they're not ready for that. They're not ready to talk about Office yet. A lot of people thought, oh, this is where they're going to talk about Office 15, but no. Yeah. Although they did accidentally show a little bit of Office 15 in day two keynote.
I wonder about that stuff. You know, they're obviously having that Windows Phone event next week. Why not just have that at TechEd? We're all there already. You know?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you just have, like, obviously the Windows Phone stuff is ready. Just have that at TechEd, right?
And there was nothing about Windows Phone.
Yeah. No, nothing at all. Not even a mention. Office, I think when you look out at the calendar at the beginning of the year and you know roughly what's happening with these products, you think, well, TechEd, Office, this makes plenty of sense. But I think one of the things we've been learning over the past few months is that the schedule for Office 15 is not aligning with the schedule of Windows 8 and that they're back maybe a quarter or at least a couple of months from Windows 8. And so maybe they just never scheduled this for the beta or whatever the coming, you know, the public release that they're going to have. Because they did say it would be in the summer. You know, they had previously said that. TechEd's kind of in the summer. You know, it sounds like it's the right time, but you know, maybe in retrospect, they always plan to be about a quarter behind Windows 8. So that might explain that one.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people I talked to, they said, you know, okay, I at least thought they were going to say something like, okay, we're going to tell you when the next build conference is here or something like that. Like they thought they'd give them something, you know, and there was nothing. So I think a lot of people who already have invested a lot of time and effort and energy in learning Windows 8, downloading the previews, were kind of left cold because they thought they'd get more on that.
On the other hand, there was some information about enterprise features related to Windows 8 that were not new to me because I've been following along, obviously, you know, and Mary Jo has as well, of course, but I was interested, you know, we were in a day-long press event on, I'm losing track of the days now, Tuesday. And it was interesting to me to observe the people around me and what their questions were about the product. And it was very clear that many of them didn't know anything about any of this stuff, you know. And it wasn't just Windows 8. I mean, some of the things they were talking about were the MDOP applications, which are those, they don't really charge. Well, they're given to people that are to companies that have software assurance licenses. They aid in the deployment and management of Windows. There are various virtualization tools in there and some troubleshooting tools. And they're actually pretty excellent. I wish that Microsoft would make them more broadly available. They're all being updated as well for Windows 8. There's a new user experience virtualization tool that they're releasing this year as well. And it was very clear that this stuff was brand new to people. Very clear. And so, you know, maybe that's an important point too, that not everyone is up on this stuff. You know, some of us, I guess. So I don't know. I mean, you know, there was one of the sessions was direct access and branch cache. And then the third feature was something like maybe mobile broadband support. I can't remember what the third one was, but only the third one was actually new to Windows 8. The other two, branch cache and direct access, have been around for the last few product revisions, and they've certainly been updated in minor ways over the years, but they basically perform exactly the same functions they've always performed. And it was very clear in that session, for example, the couple of guys I was with, they had no idea what this stuff. They had never even heard of it.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Another disappointing week in the life of Paul Theron.
I'm surprised they didn't have any Windows RT tablets there. There were some at Computex. I mean, but I guess those are still, you know, limited supply.
They don't want anyone touching stuff. Yeah, we got to see that Yoga flip around computer. There was some kind
that's
of
that's a cool computer, but I saw that with Windows 7 on it. So, yeah, I don't know how that. Oh,
okay.
I think it was. Well, wait a minute. We saw it at CES this year. I'm trying to remember if it had Windows.
No, it probably had Windows. Well, had 8 on it.
It's a touchscreen.
CES might have been before consumer preview. So, yeah, it's hard to know what you saw in that, right, actually, because it was before the consumer preview. But it's interesting looking. Clearly, this was not a hardware show.
Right.
So there wasn't a lot of that. But, typically when you go to an event like this, you do want to spend time in the keynotes and you know, take notes and write stories. And, I mean, for me, it was just – and then – I will go back and watch the day one keynote on video because it was server and Azure, and there's some Visual Studio stuff in there. And that was pretty interesting to me. And I talked to Jason Zander afterwards, as did Mary Jo, I believe. And I think everyone who talked to him said, what's the deal with Windows RT development? And he couldn't say anything. And then I think it was that day he actually posted a very lengthy post about how that will work. And that was actually very interesting and I think useful for people. Because that's another thing that a lot of people misunderstand. You know, I think that everyone had this notion that you would go into Visual Studio, you would create this AppX package, you know, a Metro-style app, and that thing would run on any one of these platforms. It would run on Windows 8, whether it was 32-bit or 64-bit, and it would run on Windows RT, and that's actually not the case at all. You can target all three environments if you want, but it actually creates three separate executables, apparently. And you're not actually bound to creating an app that works on any of those platforms. You could create, if you wanted to, you could create a Metro-style app that just runs on 32-bit versions of Windows. And you could just skip ARM. Or you could make one that just ran on ARM and you could skip the other two. So it's not really, it's not necessarily this one thing, you know, that people are kind of imagining. But you have a choice, you know, when you create those apps, how you want to do it. And so he kind of spelled all that stuff out. And I thought that was a nice thing to do in a very quick turnaround, because I think as we filed through, it was like that scene in Airplane where they're waiting in line to you know, smack the girl who won't shut up. And, you know, one guy's got a pipe and one guy's got a rope. You know, so I think eventually they you know, after the 10th person asked him the same question, he must have said, we're going to have to do something about
it. We're going to move on here.
Yeah. No, good for them. But no, I mean, that's nice. They move quick.
On the Office front, though, they did on day two keynote. They showed the Windows RT tablet, and they showed Office 2013, which is Office 15 running on that.
But oh, that's neat. We'd seen that before, right? Was that a revelation?
I think they just showed a screenshot before.
All right. That's
or,
right.
Or, we were, or mentioned it. Maybe they even just mentioned it. They at some point they just said, "Look, Office, these four Office apps are going to be in the ARM version of Windows."
Right,
but I don't remember if there was a
Outlook, Excel, PowerPoint, and
no, so not Outlook. It's going to be OneNote, Word,
OneNote,
Excel, and PowerPoint.
That makes sense. No Word, no Outlook.
Right. So we saw Excel. It was called Excel 2013 RT, which means it's the tablet version. And we still don't really know, is the tablet version of that different from the non-tablet version? We're not.
So sure. You didn't see enough to know.
No.
No. It looked the same. That's funny. Both of you have now gotten
I know. We both disappeared for a second. Yeah.
I don't want to talk about Office. My sister is visiting and my doors won't close.
I had to check out the window, make sure no one was on a
Yeah. Hey, did you ever find an update on that? Was it in the news?
Yeah. I think what everybody thinks happened was a guy was replacing a window and he lost his footing and somebody had to pull him back in.
So it wasn't a suicide attempt. It was an accident.
No. Yeah, it seems like it was an accident. And they immediately replaced the window and all was well. No one was hurt.
And once again, CSI New York City is seen only in one place, outside Mary Jo's window. So... And it's the WinRT Windows RT version of Office uses desktop, not Metro. Or is there a Metro interface to that?
No, it's desktop.
It's desktop only.
Yeah. Which, by the way, that itself leads to all kinds of questions.
Right. Yeah,
doesn't it? You know, aside from the fact that they're not allowing anyone else to develop desktop apps. I mean, aren't there these extensibility pieces built into Office? If you created an add-in for Microsoft Word, would that run on the ARM version of Office, you know, if you wanted to do some kind of a scripting or a programmability type thing, you know, whatever the modern Office version of VBScript is, whatever they use today.
You're getting way ahead of yourself. I think you should be asking things like, is there going to be cut and paste?
No, I expect all that basic stuff.
That was snarky. No. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, actually, that's not a bad question because we don't know what Office 15 is yet, right? It's because there are going to be different versions and so forth. There's going to be a new version for the web. We know that today when you buy a PC, very typically you get a very low-end version of Office with that PC that just has a low-end version of Word and a low-end version of Excel. And will this RT version of Office, will it equate to kind of like the web version? I mean, they're giving it away for free. There must be a reason for that. You know, what is this thing? It's actually a very good question. I think cut and paste will be there, but but what about things like the reviewing aspect of it, or you know, will it support the full functionality of Word in Word RT? We don't know, and so I think eventually, I don't know when it happens. Eventually, there'll be some kind of Office beta, and when that happens, will we learn more about the RT version of Office? You know, I hope, but
hopefully,
seem to do things on their own schedule.
I know. There's a whole like touch mode. What do they call that again? The touch mode button that people have seen in the early versions of Office 15.
Which
so some
really
of these
not...
apps you could touch.
What's the
touch mode button?
Oh, you turn it. You press a button.
It does. It makes the user interface elements a little bigger, and it spaces them out a little bit more. It prevents you from, you know, tapping the screen and hitting two things at once. It just kind of moves them apart a little bit. It's not like some big dumb looking UI. It takes the existing ribbon and it just kind of expands things out. It gives more white space, you know, between the buttons.
You'd think that'd be just on all the time.
You think it would auto detect, yeah. Or maybe in Windows RT, the Office RT rather, maybe it is on all the time.
Yeah, I mean, come on, you're on a tablet.
Right. Well,
that would be a very Microsoft thing to do as opposed to, say, an Apple thing, which would, you know, Apple would always have big buttons because you're on a tablet.
Yeah. Well, the cheap joke at Microsoft's expense would be that Clippy would pop up and he would say, it looks like you're trying to touch your computer.
That may be cheap, but it's good. I'm loving it. That's funny. Hello. Looks like you're trying to touch yourself.
And then you're trying to close it with your finger, but the button's too small so you can't hit it.
So I suppose I should point out that Tech Ed is, you're going as journalists, so maybe your needs are different, or did you also see some...
No, that's absolutely true. And one thing
I
always mean to and never get to do as much as I want is attend some sessions and actually learn something, you know, rather than just like blow through it and be a cynical jerk when I get to the other end of it. I mean, it is... Absolutely,
I
a learning.
I didn't mean
event.
To equate
no,
cynical jerk and journalist.
I'm trying to be honest about it. I mean, I'm being kind of snarky about this thing. TechEd is a big deal, and I enjoy TechEd. I was disappointed in that keynote, but you know the press event we went to was great actually, and informational, and I enjoyed all that stuff.
Good.
And I think that the vast majority of people who go there, at great expense, by the way, whether they're being paid to do so by the company or not. I'm sure this is incredibly useful for them, you know. And
well,
we
did
are
you
in a weird-
did you talk to people who were there as, you know, normal attendees and say, and ask them how they were enjoying?
No, I shun the public, Leo.
Yeah, I do too. I'm with you on that. I call it shy, but really, you know, I just don't like people.
Well, no, I mean, I took part in a career seminar thing that was kind of interesting, and yeah, you know, these people, IT pros primarily, although, you know, maybe say 25% of the audience might have been from more of a developer bent, but on both sides, developer and IT pro, you know, their lives are changing. This used to be about locking down desktop computers so that nothing, you know, bad could get out into the world. You know, people used to put super glue on USB ports so that you couldn't plug in a hard drive or something. And now we live in this world where people are bringing in iPods and iPhones and iPads and Android tablets. And how do you deal with all that kind of stuff? And obviously, there has to be some kind of a happy middle ground between the freewheeling world of the future that these users envision and the crazy lockdown world of the past. And so Microsoft, for whatever it's worth, does do a very good job at kind of rolling with those changes. They have really good management tools for mobile devices now, you know, both a cloud-based service and an on-prem server that does that stuff. And it works with all the popular devices out there, not just their own stuff. So, you know, this is just, you know, this is what's happening. And then there's also the move to the cloud, right? I mean, this was a year ago, but one of the, I'll never forget this moment as long as I live, but there was a guy in a very similar session from a year ago who said, let me get this straight. You're telling me that my last official act as an Exchange admin is going to be migrating my company's Exchange infrastructure to the cloud, and then I'm going to get fired because they don't need me anymore, you know? And it's kind of a harsh way to look at it, but the truth is the world is changing, and I think some people might have forgotten that the reason we got into this in the first place, hopefully, was out of an enthusiasm for technology and a desire to help people, and that it's not just a job, it's something that you care about. And maybe you go home at night and you fire up a free version of Visual Studio and you play around with Metro apps, or maybe you do it on a Mac for iOS apps or whatever. And so, you know, it's interesting to me because I know from my perspective, that's what I did. I, you know, before I was in technology, it was a hobby for me and something that I just liked, you know. I think people get, you know, it's weird. In the IT world, I think that we got so used to going from one version of the same product to the next that we forgot that it could be different. And now that some places are starting, you know, instead of going from Exchange, you know, 2003 to 2007 to 2010, now they're thinking, well, maybe we'll go to Office 365. You know, and these guys who have been kind of complacent are like, what? You know, like, but that's my job. But that's what I do, you know. And so I think that's an aspect of tech ed, too. It's these people learning to cope with or learning to find out, you know, maybe some of the other areas they might want to learn about or some of the other areas to move into.
Yeah, I saw someone tweet that the number one rated session at tech ed, just to give you an idea of what people like there, was about PowerShell.
Yeah, Jeffrey Cooper. Yeah, I would have loved that. So, that's a programmer's session, you know.
It is, like a scripting thing, you know. So,
he was very proud of that. He actually talked to the thing I was at. He was he beat Mark Rezinovich this year.
Really?
I know.
Wow, that is saying something. Yeah. That's impressive. Yeah, because Rezinovich is great.
He is. Yeah, we both got to talk to Mark, too, and he was really good. And talking a lot about, you know, Linux on Azure and the whole IIS, PaaS thing about Azure. And you know, so all that stuff is really valuable. It's great to dig in and get more understanding and detail. But as far as a news event, no, not a news event. We went to a press reception on the second night of the show, and they had flown over some of the machines that they used at Computex to show off Windows 8, and they were behind a velvet rope. I'm not kidding. So we couldn't even touch them or try them.
That might have been the request of the manufacturers, not of Microsoft.
Maybe. But it was none of them were ARM devices. They were all Intel-based.
With fans
Windows 8.
And,
Yeah. So I'm like, can I pick one up to see how heavy it is? No. Nope.
Can I learn something here? No.
No, it's impossible.
No, as a matter of fact. Hey, is Power, did they, when there was the PowerShell session about PowerShell in Windows 8? I mean, is it in Windows 8?
I believe it was PowerShell internals, wasn't it? Was that the name of it?
Wow.
Yeah, I think it was.
I want to know how. I want to know how PowerShell works.
It was Jeffrey Snover and Don Jones.
Don Jones. Yeah. Somebody called Don Jones the Bieber of PowerShell.
The Justin Bieber of PowerShell?
Yes.
So I've known him and I've known him for a long time, and I ran into him in the hallway, and I had one of those complete, you know, I just travel, and I looked at him and I said, I know who you are. And he said, Don. And I said, no, that's not it.
That works.
I just could, yeah. Stupid.
No, no. You're not, no.
No.
Yeah.
I was happy to see them show the Beer Ranger app on Windows 8 there. So it wasn't a total loss. Well, I mean, they showed this app that they Sonoma Partners built. It's the first business app for Windows 8, and it's a beer app. So, okay, it wasn't a total loss to go to Orlando.
Wow, how often do you get to say that?
Yeah.
I know.
You know it's interesting often. Because so far now, Windows 8, the thing that Paul's most excited about is the cocktail recipe thing, and you're most excited about the beer thing. I'm wondering if Windows 8 is really for alcoholics.
Nice.
It's going to cause alcoholism.
Yeah. Hey, we've got consumer apps. How to booze it up with Windows 8. Wow. Thank you. Let's see. Moving right along. Is there anything else you want to say about Tech Ed? I don't want to prematurely eject this.
I would say one thing I did.
Subject.
I was very interested to finally see was Windows to Go, because I've spent the past several months trying to get it to work.
What is Windows to Go?
Windows to Go is a way to install Windows 8 on a USB key, which you then carry around with you, and you can plug it into
your computer. Oh, I like
that.
Oh, I want that. That's awesome. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's only going to be made available to the enterprise version of Windows 8, which means it's not going to get a very wide deployment, you know, out in the real world. But at least not in this version. You know, maybe they'll change that. There have been ways dating back, I think, to the developer preview to get this thing to work using ImageX and some deployment tools that Microsoft provides for free. And I've tried every single one of them. I've tried them on multiple keys. I've never gotten this thing to work acceptably. I've gotten it to work, but it's just slower than hell. And I was interested to learn that they've only certified two specific USB keys for this purpose.
Oh,
and geez. I don't have the names in front of me, but...
Yeah, Dano mentioned this in the chat room. Really? So it has to be fast.
Yeah.
It must be speed.
You know what? This is very reminiscent of that... I just forgot the name of it. The Ready Boost only worked when Windows Vista came up.
Yeah.
It would only come up... And it wasn't raw speed. It was some bizarre set of performance criteria, and I believe it's related to that kind of a thing, but they handed one out to everybody, so we all fought over that, and I won. But I'm eager to test it, and the bit that I learned about it, aside from the fact that only two so far have been certified, is that the management tool for this is forthcoming. They haven't released it yet. It's not in the release preview. It will be in the RTM version of Windows 7 Enterprise. And this tool will allow you to very easily, using a wizard, create these USB keys, obviously, and then deploy them out to people. So Windows to Go is very interesting. And it's the type of thing that enthusiasts want badly. And with this version of Windows, with there not being a real Ultimate Edition, it's one of those things that there's no real good way to get Windows 7 Enterprise. It's volume license only. You know, it's just for businesses. And It's kind of too bad, because I think this is maybe the one feature that's unique to that product edition that I think a lot of people would like to try out and would like to have. You know, your whole environment is in there. You know, it's kind of neat.
There was also a little bit of Visual Studio 2012 news that was kind of interesting. They talked about Visual Studio Light Switch, which is one part of Visual Studio 2012. Till now, it's been a tool for desktop and cloud, but as of this week, also a tool for targeting phone, because they're adding HTML5 output to it, which got a lot of people kind of excited at the show. That shows you again who's at the show, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's big, because now you can use this tool that is going to be coming out with Visual Studio 2012 this year to target phones that have an HTML5 browser. So it gives you another tool for developing for phones. If you're the kind of developer who's not a professional developer, right? You're like kind of a little more like a, not a hobbyist, but somewhere in between hobbyist professional.
Or just an IT pro who needs to, you know, Light Switch was designed to give non-programmers a way to create data connected applications very easily, right? So, you know, you kind of specify a data source, the login information, you can drag and drop a simple, you know, grid of buttons and stuff and access data that way. And the thing that Mary Jo is describing is very interesting because I think it's the first like kind of tip of an iceberg where I see the future of this as Visual Studio is this tool where you create an application and side by side with that, you create the mobile version of the application, you know. And he described it as an HTML companion creator of some kind. I don't remember the exact name of it. And it's not in there now. It's something that we'll see in the RTM version. But, you know, this notion that you'll create an app, a database app of some kind, and that people can access it through a website. It's actually Silverlight-based, by the way, which is really interesting. I assume that's going to be changing at some point in the future. But or you can create like a Windows, it's kind of an application that runs in Windows, kind of an application mode for the Silverlight app. But then you can take that same data back in and create a like an HTML version of it that works in a mobile browser. So it'll work on iPads and iPhones, Android devices, Windows Phone, and so on. And there's got to be a huge future there for developers because right now when you target any device, you're basically creating a different app on every platform using different tools. And I have to think that the future of mobile development is going to involve something like this, like a future version of this where, you know, maybe you want a Windows app or a Mac app and you want, you know, you're going to want to target all these different environments and have it hopefully intelligently help you to lay out things for the different form factors, you know, the screen sizes and resolutions and all that stuff. So obviously early days, but that was, it was interesting. Kind of an unexpected little, you know, side tool that mm-hmm. they're going to be adding to Visual Studio.
Huh. Hey, AnandTech has published some pictures of what the new Apple Retina display does with Windows 8. Because there mm-hmm. isn't, it uses the an NVIDIA, I think it's the 950, I'm sorry, the 650M GPU, yep. and there's no drivers yet, either Mac or Windows, for it. Okay. So you can't scale it, but you can choose the full resolution, 2880 by 1800.
And yeah, so, well, here's the problem. The screen, or you, yeah, this is what you need.
It's not scaling, right.
It's not scaling, so. Yeah.
But it just shows you how much space you have on this sucker. And it looks great, I mean.
It's not scaling correctly, so right. That's a driver issue. So, yeah.
And Anand points this out. He says, as soon as there's a driver, you know, this might be.
Yeah, the Windows desktop is never going to scale well on a resolution of that size, right? Because it only gives you very non-granular choices. You can have normal, larger, right. smaller. You know, it's right. not very good.
Right.
The Metro environment, though, should look great on that display. Once there are drivers, because right. that thing does scale automatically. It's funny. They actually also support three basic sizes. But one of the things you can do, if you're making a Metro style app that has a kind of a, say, a photographic background that's over a panorama, you can supply three different sizes of that photo. So that if you're on a tiny device that's like a 7-inch screen that, you know, has this X number of, you know, dots per inch or whatever, or you're on a more typical 1366 by 768 tablet or whatever, or you're in an HD, 24-inch display or whatever, you'll use the bigger version of that photo. And so I suspect that because that thing has such crazy high resolution, plus is a smaller screen size, thus has more dots per inch, it's probably going to look okay, but it's, you know, there's not going to be a version of that photo that's whatever the resolution is, 2880 by whatever. It's going to be more like 1920 by 1080. So I think those things will still look great, but they'll... You know, we're not really thinking in terms of that high of a resolution plus a dot per inch
right.
in the Windows side yet.
Right.
You know.
Soon.
Yeah. But didn't Microsoft say, I thought they said back in March in a blog post, they could support Retina.
Yeah.
Retina type.
Yeah, no, displays, right. Yeah. So
as far as pixel density goes, right?
No, of course. What I mean is if you were a developer and you're creating an app, I mean, obviously... Your app, you want to keep your app to some certain size. You know, the nice thing about the Mac side is that, or the Apple side, I should say, is that Apple will just move to Retina across the board eventually, right? So when you have an iOS app now, you probably have resources that are designed for the old style stuff and then for the new, but there's only those two sizes. So
right.
you know, with the iPhone, you have the old res and the new res, and in the iPad, you have the old res and the new res, and that's the whole set of resolutions you have. Windows is a little more complicated because... You don't know what those devices are going to look like.
You have to support
lots
every
of screen
resolution.
Sizes, lots of right. yeah. So the the typical way is what I was just describing was for, more for like an app. If you think about, trying to think of an example, like the sports app or whatever, where you open it up today in Windows 8 and there's this beautiful, it's a panoramic application, but there's a photo that takes up most of the first part of the screen. That app probably has three different versions of that photo.
Right.
But it doesn't have a version that will look awesome on the, 2880 by whatever. I don't believe. And that's
well,
the issue.
So, in fact,
it'll still look good.
I haven't played with this new laptop. I ordered one, but Sarah Lane has, and she said that's one of the things you see is that not only do some apps, many apps, not have that resolution. The Twitter app, for instance, looks just really horrible. But yeah. But the web itself is really not designed. The web is designed for 72 DPI, right?
But actually, it depends. So like the type of app I was just talking about on Windows 8 or a website that was primarily text, Microsoft, of course, has good clear type technology, text rendering
will be
and so
fine.
Forth.
Yeah.
The text is going to look beautiful.
It's
so
the images.
I think that any Metro style app will probably scale wonderfully to that display from a text standpoint.
Right.
So you're opening the sports app. So
right.
What will happen is most of the screen will be taken up by a background photo eventually.
Yeah.
Whenever it comes up. And then there'll be some stuff trailing off to the right, and then you'll be able to see you can scroll over. That photo, most likely, there are three versions of it, and none of them are going to fill the retina display.
Right.
None of them will, I don't think.
That's for bitmaps. And then, of course, anything that's vector, including somebody's asking,
yes.
Quantum Tower saying, do Windows 8 tiles support SVG graphics? Of course, I presume that the tiles themselves are fully scalable, right?
But again, it's
bitmaps that are issues, right?
Right. So you see a big photo there.
Right.
Yeah.
This is half
the
screen.
The text is going to look great.
Everything else will look fine.
Yeah. You'll have really crisp-looking text on top of a photo that will probably look good. It's not going to look bad. It's just not infinitely scalable. It's still a bitmap. I believe the way they've done it is they have three. They allot for three versions typically of the photo.
Right.
So if you have a smaller device, maybe a phone in the future, we'll see with Windows Phone 8. Obviously, you load the small one.
Right. This is just the way it's going to be a problem going forward for everything, and it's just something you got to get used to.
But Apple, by virtue of the fact that it controls its entire ecosystem and has a very limited range of devices, can move much more quickly.
Right.
I not to get off into Apple land, I don't want to talk about Apple too much, but I was actually surprised that they updated their MacBook Pros at all. I don't know why there's a 13-inch
MacBook. I'll tell you why. Because it's so expensive. They had to have something that's under $2,200.
Well, no. In other words, there's a MacBook Air that's 13-inch.
Yeah.
Right? Why do they have a MacBook Pro that's 13-inch? It has a much lower resolution, weighs a lot.
I see. Right.
It just seems like it was kind of a strange thing.
I suspect that you're right it'll be all Air and then the 15, but that they just want to continue to offer the choice for people who are inevitably going to say, "Good Lord." Sticker shock.
I just hope that Dell ships a Windows 8 PC that has like a floppy drive in it. So,
it's all about choice. It's all about choice.
It's a $49 option, but it's there if you want.
We're going to take a break. There's a big rumor floating around. I'd like to get your information on that about Yammer. And also, what is this mysterious event coming up next week? This mysterious media event. Mary Jo might know. She knows all. But first, a word from Ford. Speaking of apps, Ford has now on their electric vehicles, they've got this great app. It's called the My Ford Mobile app for smartphones. I'm going to have to look. Ford.com/technology. They have a Windows Phone version of this. I know they have pretty much every possible platform here. The idea being that your smartphone now is talking to your car and can do all sorts of very cool, very interesting things. There's a Microsoft value charging feature that's built into the car. Your local utilities provide information about when off-peak or reduced rates occur. And then this app just automatically, without a lot of complicated setup, you just flip a switch. Make sure that the car only charges when it's cheapest. You can monitor that charging, get alerts. You can find charging stations. That's always something that's going to be an issue with electric vehicles. To be able to plug in when you get where you're going. or I guess even on the way. Wouldn't it be nice if rest stops had chargers? You'd have to spend 3 hours there, but it'd be kind of cool. My Ford Mobile also has a website with gaming features. You know, they've gamified it. They've got leaderboards. So if, like, you're the most eco-friendly driver in town, you could be on the leaderboard. There's achievements. There's social networking available to all drivers of Ford Electric. Oh, and plug-in hybrids as well. You can monitor with the app how far you drive, how much CO2 you've saved by not using gas. You can get the 2012 Ford Focus Electric right now at your EV-certified Ford dealer. And coming soon, the plug-in hybrid, the Fusion Energy, that'll be in 2013. You got to check these out. It's really cool stuff, and the technology they're putting in here is kind of amazing. Ford.com/technology, and if you go to Ford, this is kind of a longer one, Ford.com/electric/Focus Electric. I'm going to type this in. Focus Electric/2012. You can find out directly about the... Oh, I guess I got that wrong. Oh, well. I typed it wrong. Let me see if I can go this way. 2012. Well, this is cool. I actually found their map of all their vehicles. You know, on the roadmap, electric and hybrid, electric and plug-in electric for almost everything. They're really going crazy with this. There it is. The 2012 Ford Focus Electric and the amazing new My Ford mobile app. Here it is. That lets you monitor and schedule everything. Let me just see what phones. See if they say what phones this is. Android, BlackBerry, and iOS. And then they have a website, too. Very cool stuff. Ford.com/technology to learn more. And it's Ford.com/electric/Focus Electric/2012/ to get to this particular page in the demo of the My Ford Mobile. It'll even, I love this, it'll preheat your car before you get into it. You could say, see, my go time's 8 a.m. I want it to be 72 degrees in that car. And you press a button and boom. The car it heats up just right for you, or cools off just right for you before you get into it. I think that's kind of cool. Ford.com/technology. Paul Thurrott from the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com. And I could tell while I was talking, they were filing. They actually filed 4 stories while I was talking.
I was only researching.
They're right prolific. It's amazing. I love working with bloggers. Bloggers, I think that to be a good, successful blogger, you got to be compulsive about it, right? It's like, I got to blog this. Yep. Is that not wrong?
You have to be compulsive, period.
Yes.
To be involved in this industry in any way, shape, or form.
You're probably right. What is this Yammer is it's a rumor, right? Yammer is, we should mention, this was, I think, a TechCrunch award winner a couple of years ago. It's an enterprise Twitter, basically. Is that right?
Social networking. Yep. For the enterprise. Yep.
And is Microsoft about to acquire them? And that, what does that tell us about Microsoft's goals in life when they grow up, what they want to be?
Yeah. Well, it's funny where this rumor even came from. So it was overheard by somebody who was at a coffee shop across the street from Yammer.
Oh, that's come on.
Yeah.
And what the guy really was saying is, yeah. We're going to buy Windows 8 and here, buy Windows Yammer.
Where is Yammer located?
San Francisco. Yep.
Okay. By the way, best place to do research. If you just wander around San Francisco in the coffee shops, you're going to hear all sorts of crap.
Yep. The point is, they're not in Los Angeles.
No, they are not.
Why do you say that, Paul? What does that mean?
just
tell you that on our next item.
Bloomberg reported this Thursday Microsoft may be willing to pay more than $1 billion for Yammer. An agreement could be reached, according to Bloomberg, as soon as tomorrow. There's got to be more than just a coffee shop over here.
Well, it's been rumored for a while. I've heard rumors Microsoft could buy Yammer over several years. And, you know, they've done a lot of deals with Microsoft. They've integrated their application with Microsoft SharePoint, which also has social networking built in.
Oh, it does.
They've integrated. Yep. And they've integrated also with Dynamics CRM, another Microsoft product that has social networking built in. So it's not really crazy. And if you remember back to when Microsoft announced they were buying Skype, this reminds me of that.
It's like we already have it, but this will give us more presence.
Exactly.
A brand name.
Yep. A name everyone knows, an easier way to explain what we have because we'll integrate our thing with their thing.
We've started using, and I'm actually very intrigued by it. It's something called Podio, P-O-D-I-O. Very similar idea. It's kind of work group, social platform. The company doesn't use email, for instance. Podio doesn't use email. They just message each other on the Podio platform. It's got a lot of project planning capabilities. I think Yammer is not quite as capable, but of course, as you point out, there are a lot, you know, SharePoint does a lot of this anyway, right?
Right.
So what they'd be getting is the name. Speaking of which,
and they also would get the mobile support too, because Yammer supports iPad, iPhone, Android phones. And so Microsoft increasingly is supporting these platforms with this too, but it would give them a really quick way to get to this.
And as we know, iPhone apps are worth $1 billion. So that's the going price now. When you come and you ask me, how much is your iPhone app? I'm going to say $1 billion.
The new Bling app.
Yeah. It's $1 billion. That's a lot, boy, for something that they really kind of already have. But how much do they pay for Skype? More than that?
$8 billion.
Yeah. So it's a deal.
Yeah, but they never even use that.
So this is, there you go.
And, you know, the other thing to remember is Microsoft had been building something almost exactly like Yammer itself that was known as Office Talk. And they were even using it inside the company. And then it just disappeared off the radar screen. And that doesn't mean it's dead necessarily, but it kind of just was supposed to go commercial and nothing ever happened. So maybe this
seems
another
like the
way
type of thing
them.
That would be part of SharePoint.
Right.
It is, right? Yeah. Right. Well, they've got a lot of that built into SharePoint, but I know.
I mean, I like this idea of I keep trying to get everybody in my office to use it. But what happens is they end up using, they're already using Twitter, Facebook, and they just kind of end up. Like, for a while, Chad was just DMing me, direct messaging me on Twitter. And it's like, and I understand that, because you're already using that platform. You don't want a new platform. You just want to use what you already got. So maybe the penetration of Yammer is sufficient that Microsoft thought, well, we'll just use what they've got. I can't believe I'm talking about Yammer penetration.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am.
I've never even heard of this thing, which means it's an excellent buy for Microsoft.
Well, you wouldn't hear about it because you have to, but apparently it's very popular in, certain circles, enterprise circles.
Yeah, the Amiga was very popular in certain circles as well. So I was told.
So speaking of Skype, I'm a little worried. I keep waiting. We're on Skype right now, and you're both using Windows, obviously, as are we, and I keep waiting for an ad to pop up. What's the story
there?
Well,
no, it's not. It's not that bad.
Oh, well, that's a relief. But I did read the, all I saw was a tweet. I get all my news from Twitter now.
Yeah.
And it basically said something like, if you're not a paying user of Skype, you're going to see ads on Windows at this point.
Only when you're making audio calls.
Ah, video, you won't see an ad?
Right.
And when you're on the audio call, will you hear an ad?
No.
You just see a pop-up.
When I make an audio call on Skype, I just minimize the window.
Right.
Because usually I'm doing, there's nothing to look at. So
I get it. So instead of putting video in the window, they're going to put an ad in the window.
Yep.
I get it.
Yep. And it's a silent thing. So it's not speaking to you.
Thank God.
You're not
it's a,
you're
it's a mime.
It's a mime. Microsoft mime.
Mary Jo published an interesting workaround. But the thing that bugs me about this isn't the ad. It's the insanity of the blog post that announced it. Where they tried to make it seem like something that people would like. We wanted to tailor the ads in such a way that it would be a conversation starter.
Oh. It's a conversation starter.
It's like a first date tool. Like a thing will come up, like a little bit of trivia, discuss.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Because sometimes my Skype
burger ad?
my Skype calls lag a little bit. And it'd be fun to have something to talk about.
Right. I have an ad for irritable bowel syndrome for some reason.
Yeah.
Is that what is on your computer?
Fascinating.
Or is that just for me?
Conversation ads.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people immediately jumped to the conclusion, as I did for a moment, too. Oh, they're going to be listening into our convos and generating ads based on what we're talking.
Oh, no, it's not a Google product.
That would bring the scary Google man in there.
It would.
No, what we're going to get is Clippy's going to pop up and he's going to say, it sounds like you're talking about, or whatever.
These new ad display, they call them conversation ads.
Yep. Yeah. And they inconsistently capitalize A in ads, which I also find amusing, but please continue.
You're right. Right there in the same, same sentence.
Yeah.
We can't decide if they're conversation ads or conversation ads. There it is right there. I'm talking to Beth Wade. And now, if I'm a little bored, because Beth, frankly, not a great conversationalist, I can click to start a game called Pleasure Hunt 2. So Beth was Pleasure Hunt 1, apparently.
It's just sad is what it is.
That is not, it's an ad. It's too bad they feel the need to spin it that way.
Yeah.
Now, what's the workaround if you don't want it?
So you can go into Skype options, privacy, and switch your privacy settings so it can't look at everything about you. But I don't think you can totally turn it off unless you go to some digital advertising site.
You can actually visit Microsoft Advertising at choice.live.com.
Yeah.
And choose which of the ads you want or opt out entirely.
Right. And also, you can't totally get rid of it. But a lot of people have said, well, it's only for people who are using Skype for free. So you knew they were at some point going to do something to try to monetize this, right? And so it shouldn't be too surprising.
Oh, wait a minute. Opting out does not mean you will stop getting ads or see fewer ads.
No. Right. It just changes what they know about you, basically.
Oh, it's not. They're not personalized. I get it.
It just
gender,
means something
age,
other than looking. Opting out.
Right. Yeah. Jeez. It's like they're going to look at your gender, age, and location. If you don't want them to see those things, you can opt out of.
This is good, though. And they provide you with the cookie so you can see what the cookie is. And that's cool. And then you can see here my interests according to what it thinks my interests are. Apparently, computer and video games, computers, and entertainment and leisure are my
opting
likes.
Out doesn't mean you're going to opt out of anything.
No. Well, at least they say it. Opting out does not mean you will stop getting ads or see fewer ads.
Right.
You're opting out of personalization is what you're opting out of. So that's
it's not on Skype for Mac and it's not on Skype for Linux. It's only on Skype for Windows. Another thing too.
And I wonder why that is.
One person said to me today, it's because Microsoft obviously knows Mac users are richer and they're going to not want the free version. I was like, oh yeah, really?
Oh, I was gonna say it's because Mac users have already paid enough.
There's another take. Yeah. There you go. That would have been funny. A good little funny campaign. Maybe that'll be a future ad.
Hey, Mac users, you've suffered enough. We're not going to
pay it enough.
We're not going to make you see ads, too. Wow, that's interesting.
Yep.
So what is this super secret event? Is that the LA thing you were mentioning?
Yeah.
So it's a press event June 18th, which is what, Monday, right?
Right.
Which
we just found out about today. June 14th.
You got an invitation to go to this thing.
Right. So did everybody and their brother and their sister,
okay,
by
see,
the way.
This makes it less interesting to me.
Right. I'm talking to other people. Everyone got it.
Really?
Yeah. And it's alarming, the email, right? It makes it seem like, look, we know this is Monday and it's on the other side of the country, but you're not going to want to miss this.
Whoa.
But now that I'm learning that more and more people are getting this, I think I am, in fact, not just going to want to miss it, but I am going to miss it.
if they're so letting them in, well. Yeah.
We're starting to make...
I didn't get an invitation. Does that make you feel better?
Really? You didn't?
No, I didn't.
I'm surprised.
Yeah. I don't get invitations to anything.
Maybe
I don't think anybody knows I work in the business.
No, I bet Tom Merrick got one. I bet your guys got them.
We are doing, but I think this is we're doing a Windows Phone event next week. That's the Apollo launch, right?
Right.
This is not the Apollo launch.
No, So this is why this gets even more interesting. So next week, Microsoft's having an Apollo. Well, we think it's an Apollo launch on June 20th.
That we're going to cover live.
Yeah. Right. So that's June 20th. This is 2 days before that. It's in L.A. and the launch of Apollo is in San Francisco. So everyone's like, okay, so they're both on the West Coast. Are they related? Hmm. Are they expecting the same people to go
If I were going to bet money, my bet would be on Xbox video. I think
Xbox music.
Yeah, but I think video, because it's in LA and because that's where the entertainment industry is, and they haven't talked about it yet, and it seems so odd that they would go to E3 and talk about the music part of it, but not the video part.
It does.
Just a guess. So
All Things D now is saying they hear whatever services or software they show there, they're going to show them on Windows RT tablets.
Jeez.
Which is kind of interesting.
Still be Xbox video.
Right. It still could be Xbox music or video. And it would be a really good way to show this is why you might want one of these, right? Oh. If you show it as an entertainment device, perhaps.
Okay.
Maybe. We're just guessing. Yeah. We're all guessing. No one knows.
Right.
Yeah. And it's another weird thing is this event starts at 3:30 Pacific time in Los Angeles, and the security on it is super tight, like really, really locked down.
Maybe Usher will be there.
Yeah, maybe Usher will be there dancing again, like at E3. That also makes me think that could be another indicator that Windows RT tablets are part of it, because that would explain why all the security gets locked down.
Nobody touching the tablet.
Right. Your velvet rope is standing between you and your tablet.
Huh. You know, this is Microsoft, trying to get a little of that magic Apple dust sprinkled on their announcements, right?
Definitely.
Well, this thing had better be good after all of this, noise. That's the problem.
Well, would you call video on Xbox good?
Is that of
the order that you would expect for something like this?
No, it's not of that order. So,
I think they're going to introduce the new CEO.
Wow. Oh man, a few people have said that too. I'm like, why in LA?
Because it's Walt Disney. No, because Jeffrey Katzenberg is now going to run. I don't know that, why in LA. You're right.
Some people were speculating it's Microsoft buying Nokia. I'm like, so why would that be in Los Angeles? Number one.
Yeah. It's an entertainment announcement. That's why you do it in LA, right? It's an entertainment announcement. Yeah.
Right. Nokia, that wouldn't be there.
They're not, and it's not going to be a new Xbox, as somebody in the chat room speculated, because they just had E3. You wouldn't announce it 2 weeks after E3 when all the entertainment press is there for E3. But although that begs the question, well, then why would you hold off, since you did announce smart glass and all this new stuff for the Xbox? Why would you not make that announcement then?
Because they're trying to trickle out their Xbox announcements at a snail's pace to keep getting more and more press about it.
That's one.
You don't have a new console this year, so you got to really, really play up Xbox Live and all the new services. That's all you got this year.
So when you say video on the Xbox, what do you mean, Paul? What does that mean? What is that?
Well, they announced an Xbox music service, which is taking over for the music parts of Zoom.
But you can't currently rent movies or TV shows on the Xbox?
No, you can. Oh, you can.
That's what I thought.
But they didn't announce the Xbox video part of it. They kind of alluded to it, and then in a blog post they actually mentioned it. But very clearly, the video part of Zoom is becoming Xbox video. So I think that in the same way that the Xbox music service is enhanced, a superset, if you will, over Zune Music, I assume that Xbox video will be as well. And so one of the reasons you might have this in Los Angeles is because now you have all these new partnerships with content creators that are going to be part of your service. So I don't know. When you go and look at it today, whether you're on an Xbox 360, you can look at it in the video app in Windows 8. The collection of content they have is actually pretty good. I mean, it's decent. So, but I think when you compare it to iTunes, of course, it's probably a very small subset of what's available.
Now, Ina Fried, who seems to have of late pretty good connections with Microsoft, doesn't even mince words. She says Microsoft schedules LA event for some Windows tablet talk.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, this is my rumor.
Right.
This is what it is.
Yeah, she's saying, though, it's the software and services on RT tablets that are going to be the highlight too. So, you know, it still sounds like that's, it could be a chance that it's Xbox Music, Xbox Video, and show it on a Windows RT tablet. It doesn't sound like it's a Windows RT tablet launch or anything like that, because I don't think they're anywhere near ready for launch.
Well, and the other clue, which you point out in your article, Mary Jo, is that the invitation comes not from Wagner Edstrom, but from...
No, it does come from Wagner.
It doesn't come from Edelman.
Yep.
So Edelman's their consumer side. Wagner Ed is the Windows side, right?
A little more complicated than that.
Yeah, it's really complicated. Edelman is Xbox. And Wagner is Windows and Windows Live and Bing and Windows Phone.
So that wouldn't mean that it's a Windows Live, Bing, or Windows Phone announcement. Right?
That narrows it down.
Well, but it doesn't include Xbox at all. Why wouldn't Edelman make the invitation if it's an Xbox video announcement?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah, although Microsoft also gives most of the corporate PR to Wagner, I think.
Sure. And, you know, as far as the clients go, I mean, Windows RT plus Windows 8 is going to have much more exposure with consumers running these Xbox apps than will the Xbox itself.
I know I'm on Wagner's list because they were the ones who didn't send me a Windows Phone for reviews. So,
oh, you're on a list already.
Oops.
No, they did, actually. I have a Samsung Focus S right here. Well, I'm intrigued. They've sure got my attention. We'll find out.
We'll see. I'm curious. I mean, it was a fairly alarming email, and coming as it does at the last minute.
You won't want to miss this. You're going to want to drop everything and spend thousands of dollars on a flight to the West Coast.
And you're about to leave for San Francisco, but maybe you would consider coming to LA in the meantime. You know, why don't you kill the one remaining free day you have over like these 2-week period? Very strange. So
now Major Nelson has posted, according to Skalton in our chat room, that there is an Xbox 360 update coming Tuesday.
Yeah, that's not related. That's just a background update. You know, before they do a major fall update, they do like kind of a background infrastructure kind of update. I don't think it's going to have any new features.
Wait a minute. Thank you, Skalton. This is Tuesday, 2011. He's sending me year old. Thank you, Skalton.
Well, no, they are They are releasing an update to the Xbox 360 soon.
Okay, but this article that he's posted three times in my chat room comes from July 2011. So you can stop posting it now. Nitwit.
Okay.
You know, it's my fault. I should probably look at the link before I mention the link.
No, there is an update coming.
There is an update coming. He just thought that was the one. Okay. Mm-hmm. This never happens on CNN.
You know, I bet it does. They run 24 hours a day.
Let's see here.
Oh, I got one more good guess that just came in.
A new guess.
This is an interesting one.
Yes.
New guess coming in on Twitter. What if one of the OEMs is making a gaming tablet based on Windows RT?
Interesting.
Like very gaming specific. Like almost, he said, almost like an Xbox portable.
Actually, let me ask you a question. Someone mentioned Nina Fried and her article. Does that article suggest that there are other unique software applications that are going to be included in Windows RT that possibly wouldn't be included in Windows 8? You know, in the same way that they have Office.
It's actually a very short little thing. And in fact, in the article, she says Microsoft is not confirming confirming the LA event, but is not offering any details. So even though the way the headline's written, and you know, we got to remember people often don't write their own headlines.
Yeah.
The headline's written in the absolute, you know, declamatory, Microsoft schedules LA event for some Windows tablet talk. But as I read the article, it's not, you know, she's saying, well, they haven't really said.
Right.
But that's what I guess she or the headline writer thinks. one of the two.
Okay.
So
Barnes & Noble tablet?
Oh.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh,
yes.
Two like guesses from RT.
That's a good one.
Instead of a Nook, they call it a Wook.
That's the best guess I've heard so far.
Barnes?
That I like.
Why do you think that that's credible?
Because that's plausible because, you know, as Mary Jo had pointed out some weeks or months ago, there was a very specific ebook reader mentioned in a slide for Windows devices. And that has never materialized. And, of course, now they've settled and they have this big agreement. They've talked about it vaguely. Maybe they're going to announce that. That's a good one.
Tinker Toy Tech, thank you for that suggestion.
Yeah, I got a couple more people going, if Nokia makes the hardware, what if it's the knock-nook?
The knock-nook.
Knock-nook.
It's the new knock-nook.
It's the Nokia.
The Nokia. The Nokia. I like it.
I want a Nokia.
I'm very curious.
Why Los Angeles if it was
why
the
Los Angeles and why
right
but there
where
but,
is
know,
Barnes and Noble based
New York Noble. I thought let me see
it's probably the Cayman Islands or something.
guess this event.
We are not based anywhere. We are everywhere.
Right. I don't why are you calling here? There's no one here.
There's no Barnes and Noble here. I don't know because it doesn't really say.
Yeah, I'm not sure where it is.
I like the Barnes and Noble guess. So that's a good one.
That's interesting. What else could it be? What else could it be?
A couple people had guessed early on Office 15 beta, but I think too early and the wrong venue. Why Los Angeles?
Why no, LA? I think LA has to be a hint, right?
It's not Office.
Unless they just had to do it somewhere they could get a space. And, well, L.A. is where, okay, so L.A. and New York are the media centers, right? So you got a choice. Do we discombobulate Paul Thurrott or well, Jay Leno? I mean, who are we going to bug here?
Well, I mean, they could just be having it in L.A. to get TV press. I mean, right. That could be right. One.
I like the idea that it's the TV store for Xbox. I think that's good. If that's what you said.
Video music apps.
Video music apps for the Xbox.
Yep.
They already have HBO Go.
No, I don't think of it like that. In other words, those are just services that run on the Xbox. I'm thinking more of Microsoft's own service, you know, Xbox Video, which has TV shows and movies and is the iTunes equivalent for that kind of content on the Microsoft side.
I can finally reveal it because I might as well, you know, what can I say? I'm going to talk about it. We are not in any way involved with Xbox in putting Twit on the Xbox 360. Just wanted everybody to know.
That's not the announcement.
Oh, darn.
At one point, Microsoft
is having an event in Petaluma that we strongly suggest that you that you attend. It will be on Thursday.
There is no truth to the rumor that Microsoft will be purchasing Twit and making an announcement in LA on Monday. That is not
right,
true.
Right.
Anyway, I love the speculation. And you see, they got 20 minutes of press free just by being completely opaque.
Yep.
Well, it worked.
They'll learn something from this.
It worked.
Let's see how high we can make them jump. Let's see if we can get Thurrott to fly cross country on the drop of a hat.
But you're not going to do that. And not Mary Jo, you're not going either.
No, I'm not going either.
But I bet Ina Fried is. Or
I don't know. They probably have people in LA.
We have people there. Yeah. Windows Intune 3.0 now with MDOP.
Well, no, not exactly. Although, actually, you can get MDOP with Windows Intune.
I wouldn't make that up. So, what's new?
Who's taking this one?
Apparently, neither one. I'll take it.
We both worked it.
Okay, no, okay.
Go ahead. Don't let Leo take it.
More mobile device management, so you can manage your iPads, iPhones, and Android phones, and also Active Directory integration, including, I believe, Active Directory in the cloud, also known as WAD, Windows Azure Active Directory.
That's true, yep. Yeah, uses, actually.
Yeah. So, yeah, right, yeah, it's
and,
using
and,
WAD.
And by the way, and Windows Phone.
And Windows Phone. How did I forget that? Sorry.
Well, that's the part you left for Paul.
Yeah, so it's Exchange ActiveSync based mobile device management. There's actually one feature in this this cute little cloud service that Microsoft has that their most gigantic server product of all time doesn't have, by which I mean System Center, which is the ability to deploy apps to mobile devices. It's only iOS and Android right now because Microsoft doesn't support side loading of apps on Windows Phone yet, but you can actually deploy mobile apps to your users' phones and tablets using the service, which is really cool. And you can provide them with a phone or tablet-based portal where they can go and select the apps for themselves. Mm. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People actually really are interested in Windows Intune because it's a cloud-based PC security management service. It's fairly inexpensive. I forget what the exact
price. I wish it was a little more inexpensive. It's $11 per PC per month.
Per month. Ooh, that's a little pricey.
Yeah.
So it's funny. When they first announced this, I thought of it as something for small businesses because I figured the types of companies that were never going to invest in like really heavy, complex and expensive infrastructure would use this kind of thing because it does make a lot of sense. But actually, the way it's gone over the past couple of years is that a lot of enterprises are using it, and they're using it as sort of an accessory to their more mainstream traditional management tools like Active Directory, Group Policy, System Center, et cetera, because a lot of employees are either using their own devices or they just never really come into the network. They're out in the world. You know, either they travel, they work from home or whatever. And this is a way that you can remotely manage those machines very easily, actually. And if you've ever spent any time doing Group Policy on Active Directory, you know that it can get really hairy because it's hierarchical and things can override other things. It's very difficult to work with. And the policy that they have in Windows Intune is flat and it's very simple. And I like it a lot. I wish it was a little cheaper, but it seems to me like you should be able to get Windows Intune plus Office 365 for $11 per user per month. But
that would be compelling.
There
is a deal, though, with Office 365 to add it for an incremental amount.
Oh, is there? For less. Okay. Yeah. That's the right thing to do. And the MDOP thing, I mentioned earlier that you can get MDOP through Software Assurance, which is volume licensing. The other way you can get it is through Windows Intune. For another dollar per PC per month, you can get MDOP, which provides you with a bunch of stuff. But actually, the other part of Windows Intune that we're forgetting about is that you get the enterprise version of Windows. So every PC or every user you're licensing gets a copy of Windows 7 Enterprise today and free upgrade rights for Windows 8 Enterprise as well.
Hmm.
So if you were to sign up for this now, you'll get Windows 8 as part of it.
That's neat. Yeah. You want to take some questions from the audience?
Yes, let's take questions only about the LA event.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, we had some fun. We had some fun with a little speculation about that. They came up with some clever thoughts.
Which restaurant in Orlando did you hate the most? Well,
go ahead. Which one did you hate the most?
Well, you know what? The problem is I got a really nice email from someone I need to write back to, but somebody had written me and said, you know, welcome to Orlando. Hopefully you can get out of that little hotel area you're stuck in. And here's a bunch of really cool places there are in Orlando. And unfortunately, for me at least, I never left this. What was it called? Industrial Ave or whatever, where all the hotels are.
Yeah, I know where you are. So, it's not a very attractive area.
It's a Dedham-sized place that has a convention center,
yeah.
10 or 12 hotels,
yeah.
And then every chain restaurant you've ever heard on Earth. And so that was just unfortunate.
But it has a house that's upside down, right, with a weird...
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Yep.
That's the attraction. Right
so
there.
We got that going for us. But
I ate at one great place there, though. I should have brought Paul with me, but he didn't.
No, what was it?
Yeah, it was called Ocean Air. Have you ever gone to any of the Ocean Airs? They're really excellent seafood.
Tasty.
A great oyster happy hour.
Tasty, tasty.
Tasty. I know. Why didn't I bring you, Paul? I guess because I only had your head on a stick with me. I didn't really know.
That's right.
The only people who aren't happy is the oysters.
You go to Paul's booth at the show, and they have all the Windows IT Pro guys' heads on sticks.
Oh, I love it.
So that's I had a fun. Picture taken of me with Paul's head on a stick, and I sent it to him, and I said, where are you really?
you were clearly a little too happy about the head on
Did
the stick.
Did you bring any home, Paul? Do you have one there?
No. I'll get some pictures.
Hey, if I had a head on a stick, you could bet I'd be playing with it right now.
People were getting a little too creative with the head on the stick.
It's asking for trouble. I think one year Tech TV had cutouts made of me and some of the other hosts, and the idea being we wouldn't have to stand at the booth all day waiting for somebody who wants to take a picture, that if somebody just showed up, they could just pose with the... So here's a question from... let me scroll back so I get the name. Darth Galt wants to know if there will be, do you think, 7-inch Windows 8 tablets, or will they all be that larger form factor we've seen?
We definitely will. I mean, they haven't announced any, but that's the smallest size that you can have for a Windows 8 tablet. And so anything below that has to be a phone. So 7 inches is the start of it.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I do expect to see those. We haven't seen one yet, but yes.
From Gwydion Juhner. I don't know. Gwydion Jr.
Not his real name.
Apparently not his real name. With the documents that you read out last week, the 4 points on WP, that document, are you changing your stance at all about Windows Phone Generation 1 and or 2 getting upgraded to Apollo?
No. Actually, I should mention two things about that. I mentioned the word Neon, which we've since discovered is basically...
Apollo on crack.
A chipset. No, it was a chipset. It was like a MMX, essentially, for... mobile devices. I don't know if it was NVIDIA or whatever. I mentioned the Neon code name. That's what that was.
Okay.
That document I was reading from was from February. So it's not, this doesn't
not supersede germane.
Anything I've said. Yeah, it's not necessarily, I'm just saying it did say that. I can't change what it says, but it's not newer than some of the other information I have. So
I'm curious if next week at the June 20th Windows Phone event, they're finally going to come clean on can you or can't you?
They have to. They're going to get hammered on this. You know
they need to. But I could still see them trying not to say it.
Well, there are different ways this could go. I guess they could just suck it up and say, hey, look, you know, we're essentially rebooting this thing again. It's the Windows 8 wave. It's blah 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 blah. But there have been rumors of like a 7.7 that will bring some Windows Phone 8 features to Windows 7X. You know, I've not heard anything about any of that stuff. I don't know. I mean, I would love to see even a subset of Windows Phone 8 features come to all Windows phones. I mean, why not? I guess we'll find out. I don't know.
Because of inadequate hardware or something, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. So it's less than a week away. So we'll know more next week.
Soon.
I'm telling you, it's going to be like the townspeople going after Frankenstein if they don't address this. It's going to get up.
Yeah.
Hot topic, Pop Poops Tech's asking about Stuxnet and Flame or Flamer. And actually, I think Microsoft, at least according to Steve Gibson yesterday, gets off the hook here. As many of you probably know, if you listen to Security Now, the Flame 20 megabyte malware monster used faked certificates from Windows Server to incorporate Windows Update into its update structure. So you'd run Windows Update and your malware would automatically be updated. This was a huge embarrassment to Microsoft and they've immediately fixed it. So there was some people thought, oh, maybe you know Microsoft helped the government with this. And I would say that's pretty clearly not the case, right?
And that's how they're going to avoid an antitrust trial for bundling.
Yeah, we'll help you. Know, all those apps. What do we get in return? Sure. Right. Yeah, glad to help you. Virgil wants to know if you're going to change. They'll change the amount of memory that Windows 8 will use. Does it use? Is it more? It's as efficient as Windows 7, is it not?
It's a little more efficient.
Even a little more. That's pretty impressive, actually.
Yeah, some people are, you know, I saw something recently where someone was complaining about Windows RT is limited to 4 gigabytes of RAM because the ARM chip is a 32-bit chip. When you think about the types of things that people are going to do on a tablet, you picture like an iPad type thing, you know, 4 gigabytes.
I think the iPad's just recently got a gig, right? I don't think the iPad.
Yeah, right. It's still Windows, right? So we'll give it a little more for the overhead and all that, but. Honestly, I think 4 gigabytes of RAM on a Windows RT device is
plenty.
It's going to be plenty for this generation of devices and software. Yeah, definitely.
Untouchables wants to know if Mary Jo knows anything about the new SharePoint 15.
I've written a few posts about it based on some of the code that people have out there early. There's some things in it like a new educational module. I'm forgetting what else because I wrote about it a while ago. But yeah, it's going to be when Microsoft does the beta of Office 15, which might be like in the next few weeks, I would guess. It's supposed to be out this summer. They're going to have the public beta too then of SharePoint 15. You know, not that much longer until we know for sure. But go on my blog and look for the posts because I wrote a few of them.
Good. Just look for SharePoint on her blog, allaboutmicrosoft.com, and you will know more than anyone about SharePoint.
Actually, let me ask you, Mary Jo, a question too. Do you think that whenever Microsoft does have an Office 15 announce, you know, beta announcement, will they also be talking about Exchange and SharePoint 15 and Office web apps? Do you think it's going to be everything?
Yeah, I do think it's going to be everything because they're all on the exact same release schedule, supposedly. So, yeah, the version that's going to be in Office 365, SharePoint Online, Exchange Online, Link Online. I think we're going to hear about everything all at once. So that would be a pretty big announcement.
Wow. Somebody's asking me if we'll cover the event Monday. We hadn't planned to. We are going to cover the Apollo launch. I like calling it that. The Apollo launch. The launch of Apollo 7.8. Or whatever. Is it 8.0? Windows Phone 8.0? Is that what they call Apollo?
Yeah.
We are planning to do that. I don't know if we're going to cover. We didn't get invited, so... I don't know. What do you think? Is it a big enough announcement we should be doing live coverage?
I have a bad feeling about this one.
I kind of do, too.
I think it's going to be a...
All right. My experts say no.
I think this is going to... This might even be fake. You know?
Well, let me put it this way. Like, Microsoft, if you'd like me to cover those things next time, invite me. How about that? How about them apples?
I have a spare invite if you want.
No.
Yeah, I do too. It would be easier for you to get there than for me to get there. Let's put it that way.
You know, if it is a big story, we will break in. I mean, if they're saying, you know, we'd like to introduce our new CEO, Mickey Mouse, I will break in.
Yes.
If it is all about conversation ads for Xbox Live, I think not.
Not so much.
Not so much. And I should point out it's not based on whether I get invited or not, because obviously if that were the case, I'd never be doing another Apple event ever.
I think you're going to be back at Apple.
You think? Mr. Cook will finally relent, just as he's relented on
Google? All those lemmings in the audience at that last event, and they're all... golf clapping and high-fiving each other, and I was thinking, you know, Leo needs to be in there.
grumpily sitting with my arms folded. Yeah. I will not applaud.
With like a guard standing behind you with sunglasses on with his hand on your shoulder, but whatever. But you still need to be there. I'm surprised you know.
CLT Steve asks, for you, Paul, what do you think of the stories that Microsoft will be charging OEMs $85 for Windows RT, keeping the price artificially elevated?
I don't like stories like that because they're sort of without attribution and then result in other stories where people say, Microsoft just priced Windows RT out of the business. You know, nobody knows what the stuff is. So I don't know. I
want to chime in on this one.
Yes, please do.
You know, the other complicating factor in that story, which they glossed over, was Microsoft charges different OEMs different prices for Windows. Right. If you're a really big OEM, you pay less per copy of Windows than if you're like a system builder.
There's volume discounts.
And so we don't know who was this mystery OEM who was talking. And if it was a system builder, $85 is more believable. Also, did that price include the four Office apps, right? Because if it did, that Office also is sold to OEMs for a set fee. Usually, I've heard like $30 so per copy of the operating system. So if you add, like, say it's $50 and $30, then you're up to $85, right? Okay.
So this really underscores the thing that I think we as consumers of tech news and consumers online of any kind of information really need to consider the source always and have a skeptical eye towards these things.
Yeah, find out what the source is. In other words, invariably, the first time I read something like this, it is based on another blog post someone else wrote. Right. So you go to that one. And then that one's based on something else.
Track it back to the beginning.
It sometimes takes a while to track it back to the beginning. Right. And then you realize it's based on nothing.
Right. I always try to do that, by the way. And when we quote a source, we try to quote the original source.
Right.
Except when it's Paul Thurrott. Then I quote the verse.
Skip.
If I want to know what Paul's talking about, I read The Verge, and then I know.
Right.
Or you go to a creamery or a coffee shop and you get an overheard at the coffee shop.
Hey, at least in that case that we know what the source was.
Yeah.
You know, you can take it at face value, you know.
Yeah. All right, time to get to our picks of the week, and I think we'll let Paul Thurrott start with his tip of the week for Windows Phone users.
Yeah, Microsoft finally, they didn't actually make it themselves, but they finally have a Windows Phone gear store. It's on Cafe Press. And so you can go to this place,
and you can
order logoed merchandise with the old version of the Windows Phone logo, which is hilarious.
Is it really Microsoft doing this?
Yeah, they announced it. They did.
On Cafe Press, really, Microsoft?
Yeah. Well, people want this kind of stuff. I've been.
No, I agree, but it's just kind of a down market place to do it.
Okay, but at least it's there.
I mean, even we use the higher end spreadsheet.
You know what's sad is, I don't know if I have this handy and can show you. Yeah, I do. So if you go to this site and look, they have some cool stickers, but one thing they don't have is the coolest sticker they have, which let me see if I can. I'm going to get the window out of the way so I can show you, but. They have these really cool Windows Phone stickers, right? Where it's just the outline.
I like that. Those are great.
Yeah, I don't think they sell those on Cafe Press. It's too bad. These are the good ones, you know. And of course, the other issue is that these circular Windows Phone logos are old. Starting with Windows Phone 7.5, they went to a square shaped logo because of the tiles. So, if you're looking for out of date Windows Phone gear. This would be the place to go. No, but I think a lot of people have been looking for this kind of stuff. So there's some cool stuff.
Now, there are a lot of Microsoft things on Cafe Press. The official one is cafepress.com/Windows Phone.
Yes.
And you're right. It's the old icons. It's the old round icons.
No, but you know what? I wish the Windows team would do this. I wish the Office team would do this.
That's
I think
cool.
this stuff, it's not going to replace like their mouse business anytime soon, but they sell a bunch of this stuff, I bet.
And, you know, the nice thing about Cafe Azure Press, Hadoop. It costs you nothing to do this. It's, you know.
Did you just say Azure and Hadoop? And
Azure Hadoop.
Azure Hadoop shirt. I want my Azure Hadoop shirt.
You know, we were actually, believe it or not, we had a big data conversation. Oh, sorry. Your search for Hadoop returned no matches.
Surprise.
Right.
We were talking about Hadoop yesterday in triangulation. We were talking about big data, data mining, stuff like that. So. We got some Hadoop.
As one would.
And you have already wasted no time to take a look at the Chrome Metro preview for Windows 8. You like it?
No. No, but it's interesting. I the reason I'm recommending this is that anyone who's using, and you need the Windows 8 release preview to use this, and you have to be running the Chrome, what do you call it, dev channel.
Ah.
Right? Okay. This is a very interesting peek at what the experience will be like when they release a Metro version of the browser. It's a preview. It's not actually a Metro app, by the way. It acts like one.
It's just and a full screen app. It's kind of like Chrome OS almost.
Yeah. By the way, it's a lot like Chrome OS. In fact, that's what it seems like to me. In fact, it scales a bit to the screen in a very interesting way, which I haven't installed the latest Chrome OS on that laptop thing I have, but I suspect that that's exactly what it is. It looks like it's based on that. So the reason it's interesting isn't so much because it's Chrome, but it gives you a peek at what it means to replace IE as the default browser. Because to see this, you have to do that. And one of the weirdisms of Metro web browsers is that once you make another browser the default browser, the Metro version of IE is gone. It's not even available to run separately. Once you've made anything else the default, the Metro version of IE goes away.
What?
So it's a very strange behavior, but it's something we've always, well, it's always been the case. So, you know, if you were even without Chrome Metro, you could install Chrome and make it the default browser when you
do
that.
But you'd get a choice. It wouldn't.
No, of course, you get the choice. But my point is that when you do it, you actually lose the ability to run the Metro version of IE.
That's what's weird.
Even as it's a very strange kind of set of behaviors. So,
I've just basically killed my Metro IE.
No, you can get it back. You just have to make IE the default browser.
Oh, okay.
And God, does it go down kicking and screaming every time? No, it just does. It's funny. I mean, you really have to try hard to make Chrome the default browser. You can choose it to be the default browser when you install it, and that's not enough. You have to go into default programs. And assign all of the HTML type file types to it.
Hey, I just got a Windows update for Windows 8 RP. RCPR or whatever it's called. Do you seriously, Windows update, it's just updated it.
That's all. Well, and that was in Media Center for some reason.
I put Media Center on there. I used the Paul Theroux Verge fix.
Right, but the thanks. The
I like to rub it
in. The message you were looking at was
that was a Windows Media Center message.
Windows Media Center. That's
that's very strange. Well, I am now updating. I'll let you know what happens.
I'm going to install Diablo.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not your kind of game. You're not a top-down gamer.
But you don't understand why this is a big deal for me, because
on Windows 8?
It only runs on the PC. I can't run this on the Xbox.
Right. So you have to install it on Windows 8. On a Windows RT tablet.
I don't just do that for any game, Leo.
Let's let Paul play a little Diablo while Mary Jo Foley gives us the Enterprise Pick of the Week.
Yes, my Enterprise Pick of the Week is something with a slightly new name, but it was announced 2 years ago. But now it's finally available. It's now called Windows Azure SQL Reporting.
Ooh.
It used to be called SQL Azure Reporting Services. So what it is if you know and love SQL Server Reporting, this is that capability taken to Windows Azure Cloud. So when Microsoft announced this 2 years ago, I think it was at a PDC, it got a ton of applause, I remember, and people were really excited about it. And then 2 years went by and nobody knew what was going on with it, pretty much. But then when they announced that whole bunch of upgrades to Azure last week, this was kind of buried at the end. It's like, oh yeah, and by the way, you got your reporting for the cloud now. So this lets you generate reports that can be accessed on your browser, your mobile device, your desktop, and you can use the Microsoft analysis tools you're familiar with, like the Excel, Word, HTML, PDF, XML. So you can use all the things you already know, but use them to generate your reports in the cloud. So that's pretty cool. People are going to like that one, I think. And right now, it's free to try until August. And then they're going to start charging for it. So if you want to just give it a try, now's the time.
Neato.
Yes.
And finally, our code name pick of the week. I like this one.
Yeah, this is a cool one. And I have to thank Ars Technica for this one. They found this. It's Satori, which is the Zen term for enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if folks who love code names like me remember this, but Microsoft has a code name called Trinity. Trinity is a graph database that they use in generating some of the back-end processing for their Bing search technology. So somebody told me one time the reason Microsoft called it Trinity was based on the Matrix, obviously. But the most popular graph database out there is called Neo. And remember, Neo's sidekick was Trinity in the Matrix.
Oh, of course.
So Satori is also a graph-based technology. It's a graph-based repository that comes out of Trinity. And if you go on Ars Technica and search for Satori, they did this really in-depth article on, you know, what does Satori do and how does it compare to what Google's doing as far as handling queries and using big data. Here's big data again, to process all the queries on the back end for Bing. It's a really, really, really in-depth article done by my friend Sean Gallagher. So if you're into Bing and or graph databases and repositories, go look at it. But the new code name to know is Satori.
And it's very peaceful. And
very, very peaceful.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I wonder why they use that word for it, enlightenment. Maybe because the results of your Bing searches will bring you to enlightenment. They hope. It's better than Bing is for doing. Come on.
Bing is for doing.
That's their new
thing is for doing. I'd like to do Bing right now, in fact. But I can't because the show's over. And when the show's over. And it's probably just in the nick of time. Paul Theroux is the editor-in-chief of the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. A must-visit spot for anybody who's intrigued by the notion of a Microsoft product. And Mary Jo Foley speaking on Microsoft, all about Microsoft, on her blog on ZDNet, allaboutmicrosoft.com. And she breaks a lot of stories there. And this is, in fact, on Monday, we'll know. This will be the first place I'll go to find out what the mysterious media event is. all about
Microsoft.com. I hope Microsoft. We all can find out.
That or The Verge, if I want to get the latest coverage from the supersite for Windows.
Screw you, Laporte.
They just, you know, that was the one that got me, was the media center. You know, it's like, wait a minute, come on. You just, you know, you're literally.
Now even apps are telling me to reboot.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mary Jo. We do this show Thursdays, 11 a.m. Pacific, when Leo shows up on time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, 1800 UTC. Tune in on Twit Live. Or if you miss the show, you can get audio and video after the fact. Everywhere finer podcasts are aggregated, including, of course, the fabulous Zune Marketplace. Soon to be on Xbox Live. Just stay tuned. Actually, Rob Greenlee did approach us months ago. Actually, it was a year ago. It was at our grand opening, July 21st, saying we got to talk. And I blew him off. And now I regret it. Xbox.
There'll be another chance. There will
I
be another
so. Chance. I'd love to get, you know, Twit, we're on a lot of platforms through third-party apps, but I'd love to be on Xbox. Maybe it'll be the famous Windows 8 reboot episode of Microsoft. You know, we reimagined Windows, and then we realized that was a very bad idea.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't that be something?
Microsoft, back to the desktop. Reboot. Sure.
Our bad.
Our bad. Whoops.
It takes a big man to admit when he's wrong.
Oops. Hey, thank you, guys. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.